You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now that we're inside a 100-day threshold to the Paris Olympics, I thought we should get to know some of our Victorian Olympians before they head off to compete for us at the Games in 2024. Homegrown heroes, Red Energy, owned by Snowy Hydro, a renewable energy leader. So we start today with two-time Olympian and dual Commonwealth Games medalist. She's been perennial at World Championships for years. She is our long jumper, Brooke Kushkull. Hello to you, Brooke.
Hello, how you going?
It's lovely to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, so I don't want to jump the gun quite. So you're not selected for the Olympic team just yet in what feels like a bit of a convoluted process. Where are you in terms of finding your way onto the Australian team?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I haven't jumped the qualifying standard just yet. I've got until the 30th of June to jump that standard. In long jump, it's 6 metres 86. With my PB being 7 metres 13, I know that I can definitely do it. It's just a matter of, you know, doing it in a competition. So just obviously in the process of trying to jump that standard. But in terms of how you qualify, there's also world rankings. That is another, way of qualifying. So they take 32 athletes in the long jump and 14 have the qualifying standard. So they'll make up the remaining spots via world rankings. And thankfully, my world ranking is pretty high. So I've got a good shot of getting selected in the team, whether I do qualify or not.
If you do jump the standard at some point, does that just take all the stress out of it?
It does, for sure. It means that, you know, you no longer have to worry about keeping your world ranking high. And also, I think just knowing that, you know, if you're jumping, you know, 686 or above, it means that you're in pretty good shape. That distance would have almost won a medal at the last two world championships and wouldn't have been too far off a medal in Tokyo back in 2021. So I think for me, yeah, it's just about building slowly, but, you know, trying to get that standard as close to that, the end of the qualifying period, knowing that I'll be in good shape come Paris.
So that's, I imagine, is you don't want to be peaking too soon, given that we're talking about July, August. So are you on the cusp of jumping that, or is there a moment where you'll set yourself to jump that late in the piece?
I do think I'm on the cusp of jumping it. I feel like domestically here in Australia, you know, things didn't really go as well as I would have liked. But I do think that I'm on the up at the moment, and it's been a bit of a slow build this time around. But I do think some bigger jumps are to come at Nationals a couple of weeks ago. I had a couple of good foul jumps, so I know that there's some bigger jumps in me at the moment. It's just a matter of doing them in a competition, and yeah, we'll see how we go.
You won the national title again. Congratulations on that. What's an Olympic year like for you? You live your life, I imagine, in four-year cycles. This has been a little bit corrupted because of COVID. Does it, from the moment the calendar turns, is there an added magnitude to it all?
There definitely is. An Olympic year is definitely a lot different to any other year. You know, for every athlete, they have, or most professional athletes, they have, you know, the dream and goal of getting to an Olympic Games. And of course, everyone would love to walk away with a medal. So I guess knowing that it's an Olympic year and, you know, everyone probably tries to step up that little bit more in terms of training and doing all the one percenters that are going to put yourself in the best sort of stead for coming away with a result that you're happy for or happy with. So I think being an Olympic year, there's heightened emotions, a lot of excitement too. I think knowing that you only get the opportunity every 4 years, or in this case, 3 years, you know, you just want to make the most of it.
So you've been to Rio and you've been to Tokyo. I've been watching Tokyo replays back in recent times. Just so weird to watch in hindsight with COVID and the lack of any substantial crowd. When you think back on it 3 years ago, what comes to mind for you?
It was a very different experience. It was still a fantastic Games to be a part of, in terms of, I feel like the way the Australian Olympic Committee, you know, made the Australian building feel like home to a lot of us Australians. I think the support that the Australian athletes were giving one another was probably the best I've ever seen. It was absolutely incredible. And I think, yeah, being in a competition without much of a crowd, in a big stadium, and yeah, and being at an Olympic Games, it was very different. We don't get massive crowds here in Australia at our competition, so it kind of just felt pretty normal to me being out there without a huge amount of support. But yeah, very different Games, and really looking forward to hopefully being in Paris this year and just being able to experience, you know, the Olympic Games as a whole without, I guess, too many like regulations and differences like we did in Tokyo.
The Stade de France, so one of the great stadia of the world. Full houses, no doubt, throughout. It would be hard to, or do you visualise what it might be like?
Yeah, definitely do visualise. You know, I've been fortunate enough to compete in, you know, some major championships that have had big crowds and been in some pretty incredible stadiums too. So, yeah, I think for me, being able to walk out into a stadium full of, you know, spectators and support. Yeah, it gets me really excited to hopefully be out there. And I remember walking out into the stadium in Rio and I had tears rolling down my face because I was just so proud of myself for, you know, trying so hard, putting in so much hard work, making so many sacrifices. And yeah, just that feeling of knowing that it all paid off was pretty special.
So take me back. What age are you when you choose long jump?
Well, I've been doing athletics since I was 5 years of age. Yep. So I started doing little athletics. Obviously when you're young and doing little athletics, you give every event a go, but long jump was definitely the event that stood out to me. I think it was because I just had this natural, spring. Like I was just this natural jumper. I was quite quick as well. Obviously some pretty good genetics from my parents. And yeah, I started breaking records from a young age. And although it's not about breaking records, you know, when you're young, it's about having fun and enjoying yourself. I realized that I did have some potential there. And yeah, I've been doing it ever since and absolutely love it.
Is Dad still your coach?
Dad still is coaching me.
For forever? Has he?
Yeah, that's the plan. So he's been coaching me since I think I was 10 or 11 years old. Yeah, so I guess he'll continue coaching me until I retire.
That's charming in a way. Is it also tense in a way, having Dad as your coach?
Not so much tense. He's definitely a very relaxed personality, sometimes maybe too relaxed. But yeah, we get along really well, and it's been super special having him be a part of my journey. And we're a very close, tight-knit family. So having the support from him as well as my mum and siblings, it's been really special to share the journey with them all.
What's the reality of being an Olympic athlete versus the realities of our professional athletes? Now, you've got a sister who's playing in the AFLW at the moment. How hard's the grind and the financial grind within that to make ends meet?
It's been difficult at times. I think in track and field, if you're spending a lot of time overseas competing, you know, that's where you can sort of win prize money. And I think personally, it's been hard with sponsorships as well in athletics, particularly being a field event athlete. But in terms of sort of the comparison of pay between myself and then my sister who plays AFLW, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, I guess in terms of the commitment as well, it's probably more of a commitment being, you know, a professional long jumper. But you know, my sister works really hard as well. And, yeah, she sort of deserves any support she can get.
Do you so you'll travel to the Diamond League in China this weekend, for instance. Is that on your own tab?
No. So that's actually funded through the meet, which is which is really handy. Yep. So a lot of the travel that we do is covered by meets or Athletics Australia or the Victorian Institute of Sport. So thankfully, a lot of the travel we don't have to we don't have to fund ourselves.
How important are the moments where you choose to go overseas this year in preparation for Paris?
Yeah, they are going to be very important, I think, in terms of trying to qualify. But any opportunity for me to compete against the best long jumpers in the world is a fantastic experience. So I know that I can match it with the best long jumpers in the world, particularly when I'm at my best and you know, jumping over 7 metres. So I think just getting some exposure overseas and any opportunity just to compete and go through the motions in an unfamiliar environment is it's very valuable.
Put us in an Olympic final. What's the tension like? What's the pressure like? What's the exhilaration like? So you've lived this a couple of times and you've competed, as you say, at World Championships and Commonwealth Games. Is there something distinct about an Olympic final?
I think the nerves are definitely very high. For me, I think as I'm getting older and more experienced, I feel like my nerves are also, increasing, which I don't know if that's a good thing or not. It's probably because I really care and I just want to perform well and do everyone proud. But I think, being an Olympic final, I think there's probably a lot more at stake. And obviously an Olympic medal is what, every athlete in that final is aiming to achieve. So it's just a matter of, you know, staying focused on what you're there to do and not getting too distracted, particularly, at events like Paris, which are going to have a big crowd and a lot of distractions. You just got to stay focused and, go through my cues and do everything I can to produce some big jumps.
Where would we find you during a week? Where's your training pit? How often are you jumping? What's the training regime between actually sort of jumping and the other athletics to build up fitness and the dynamicism and that sort of thing?
So I spend 2 days a week at the Victorian Institute of Sport. So I do my gym there. I also touch base with a lot of the other people within my team, like my physio, sports psychologist, dietitian. I jump once a week, so probably a little less than what people would assume. I think as I'm getting older as well, my body definitely can't tolerate as much load being put through it as constantly. And then I have a speed session once a week. I also do a plyometric session as well. So there's a lot of jumpy, like high impact exercises within that program. A lot of run-up work's done both in my jump session and during my speed session as well. So yeah, there's a fair bit to it. A lot of sort of core strengthening on the side. It's a pretty pretty full-on week generally, but I love what I do and I think being able to call this my job is pretty cool.
So around the Victorian Institute of Sport and the like is where there are athletes striving at the moment. That the shared sense of endeavour with the Olympics at the goal, what's that like sort of across sports?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Everyone at the Victorian Institute of Sport, both athletes and, the support team there are absolutely incredible. It's so inspiring to be, in the gym or even just in the building at the VIS and having so many incredible athletes around and you see them putting in so much hard work and knowing that we all have, a very similar goal in mind. The support that we get, from everyone at the Victorian Institute of Sport goes such a long way and they make up a pretty substantial part of my team. I'm very lucky to have been a Victorian Institute of Sport scholarship holder for, I think, almost 14 years now. So it's been a long time, but it definitely feels like my second home.
What's your year look like from here?
So I'm off to China this weekend. I've got a Diamond League in Shanghai. I'll come home after that competition, spend May putting in a pretty solid training block, and then I'll do a stint in Europe in June. I'll probably come home in July for a little bit before I head back over to Europe, which seems like a lot of travel, but I think, you know, for me, I've got two autoimmune diseases and I do struggle traveling with celiac disease and also Hashimoto's, which generally requires me to get some pretty regular blood tests done just to check in with my health and make sure everything's on track, particularly so close to a major championship event like the Olympics. So there'll be a fair bit of travel back and forth, but I think it's probably going to be what will work best for me. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
And what's the dream for Paris, Brooke?
Oh gosh, the dream would be to win a medal, a gold medal, preferably. But any coloured medal would be absolutely incredible. And I think I know that I can do it. If I can be jumping at my best, you know, I could definitely be on the podium. It's just a matter of, yeah, staying really confident in myself, putting the work in between now and then, staying injury free, and just believing in myself, which is something that I've probably struggled with a little bit as of recently. So yeah, to win a medal, I'd be absolutely stoked. But yeah, just have fun while I'm at it.
Yeah, it's lovely to meet you, Brooke, and we'll follow your endeavours. We're going to get to know our Victorian Olympians before you all head off. So good luck in China on the weekend. And then, yes, with all the preparation that you're going to put in.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All power to you, Brooke Bushkull, she's the national champion in the long jump. She's a two-time Olympian already, two silver medals at the Commonwealth Games, recently fifth in the World Championships at Eugene here in the studio. Homegrown heroes, Red Energy is 100% owned by Snowy Hydro, a leader in renewable energy.